Sunday, February the 16th, is one of those days you just couldn't do without every now and then in a lifetime. We slept very, very late, too late for church, in fact, waking about 11 o'clock. Lucy Baines is in Buck Hill Falls attending a church retreat, or rather a series of discussions on theological subjects. And Linda Bird is in Austin for Carolyn Kellum's wedding. So here we are, just us. Then there was a lot of newspaper reading. And then in the afternoon, we met at the Vesper services right across Lafayette Park at St. John's Episcopal Church. My heart had rather been aching for both children all day long, because I know what it's like to Linda Bird to watch Carolyn getting married under the circumstances of having just buried her mother 1 week before. And also for Linda Bird, it means saying goodbye in a way to one of her two or three closest friends. And for Lucy Baines, I am particularly disturbed because Thursday night late, before she left Friday morning on a 6 o'clock bus, I saw her and she was in tears, upset, telephone calls, troubles. It's not easy to be 16 and to be in the place she's in and to have a young man that she likes very much who is hundreds of miles away. But the little bits I've seen in the paper about her performance at Buck Hill Falls have been fine. That she spent one nice evening dancing and that she'd taken an active part in all the religious discussions, but that when the few hours came to go out and do the skiing, she said she had to work on some term papers, so she'd been encased in homework. So it sounds like she held her head high and did a good job. If only one could be insulated against the problems of your husband and your children, perhaps you'd live a lot longer and certainly a lot calmer, but maybe then you wouldn't be of any use for them, because I guess it'd just mean you didn't care. Bob and Marge McNamara and their son, Craig, about 14, came over about 6:30. We had a good long swim in the pool, drink with the men, talk business, and I did a lot of turns in the pool and talked with Marge. And then we went upstairs for an early dinner and a short movie in bed. There was a bit in the paper today that delighted me by Richard Cole, the drama critic, commenting on the Margot Jones Awards and giving me a little credit for shoving the theater along a bit. I accept it with relish and gratitude. The most substantive thing about the day, I would say, was me hearing Bob McNamara talk about the way they plan to handle the enormous number of young men who are turned down by the Army because they can't read or write or are physically unfit. There's going to be an effort put together by the Army and by civilian management to take all these young men to camp and offer them medical rehabilitation and retraining in the simple rudiments of reading, writing, arithmetic, so they won't be turned black into the economic bloodstream of American life with no skills and floundering helplessly. That's the best idea I've heard in a long time, and I hope I live to see it bear fruition. It's a sort of it reminds me of the CCC camp days and the NYA days. And it sounds like it could be a practical attack on a very vicious problem. The most disappointing reading in the day's press, I guess, was the summary of our visit with Lord Hume. The headline reading, Disagreement Among Friends. President Johnson and British Prime Minister met for 2 days of talks here last week, reaffirming agreement on Vietnam and Malaysia, and a split on trade with Cuba and credits to the Soviet Union. Well, Britain must live by trade, and Lord Hume must say so, particularly in a political year when he faces a serious contest which may very shortly cost him the job of prime minister, and then his successor would certainly see that they'll live by trade. What way is there out of the dilemma? He could have specified how much the trade had been cut with Cuba, and it has in the last year. Another article that left me with a rather wry feeling was Betty Beale's, a terrifically nice article talking about how this administration, how both of the Johnsons, had been nice to the press, had treated them like they were human beings, had welcomed them in when they came to cover a dinner, offer them a drink while they were waiting, when there was dancing. The reporters had been asked to join in just like anybody else. Can it be that they're so cynical that they think we're trying to bribe them just because we are doing what come naturally and being nice? I hate to believe the first line of Betty's column. It's a well-known Washington adage that no matter who occupies the White House, they are damned if they do and damned if they don't.